Football Weekly is on the air.
Hi, I'm Hub Arkish, and along with Eric Edholm and Arthur Arkish, it is our great pleasure to bring you this special training camp opening preview show of Pro Football Weekly. We're with you every week where we try and bring you all the news, scoops, and rumors from around the NFL, both on and off the field.
Some big names getting acclimated with their new teams are Darrell Revis, Julius Peppers, DeMarcus Ware, enough to get these teams over the hump and challenge the NFC West?
It's all just ahead on Pro Football Weekly.
Pro Football Weekly is on the air.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Pro Football Weekly. It is hard to believe, but within 24 to 48 hours of you hearing this show, NFL training camps will start to open the third week in July. Actually, I guess technically the fourth week, but July 21st, the first day the team comes in. And we've got it all for you right here on Pro Football Weekly. I'm Hub Arkish, along with Eric Edholm of Shutdown Corner at YahooSports.com and Arthur Arkish from USA Today Sports Weekly, Chicago Football Magazine, and ChicagoFootball.com. And let's get right to it, gentlemen. Eric, in the AFC East, a lot of people think it's New England and Miami at the top. New England's still the prohibitive favorite to win the division. They spent a lot of time on that secondary in the offseason, bringing in Darrell Revis, Brandon Browner, and Patrick Chung. Not a lot of changes at wide receiver, though.
Yeah, I mean, they still have to sort out that wide receiver position. There's no question about it. The second-year guys like Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce have to step up. You know, they're hoping to have a healthy Gronk. We still think Brady is, if not as prime, pretty close to it. But I really think the development of that defense is going to end up being a huge thing for this team. And I think they have a good chance of holding off the rest of the division.
Miami Dolphins, unbelievably streaky last year, a surprising 3-0 start. They hit a speed bump, and then they got better again late in the season with another three-game winning streak. At the end of the day, 500, and it's pretty obvious what has to happen there. That offensive line somehow has to get better.
It didn't get off to a good start. Obviously, Mike Pouncey going to be sidelined through training camp, and his status is up in the air to begin the season with that hip injury. But like you said, yeah, they need to give Ryan Tannehill more help, put him in better positions to succeed. And that starts with the new guys that have come in. Brandon Albert, you drafted Juwan James on the right side, so there are big changes, and they're going to need big, big results, much better results to be a better offense and a better club.
You know, Eric, at a time when we expect teams to be getting younger, the Buffalo Bills decided the way to contend was to get older. In free agency, they bring in Bryce Brown, Anthony Dixon to shore up the running back backup spots, defensive back Corey Graham, Keith Rivers, Brandon Spikes at linebacker, an offensive lineman in Chris Williams. But the big story there, probably the ACL injury just prior to camp of Kiko Alonso.
That's a crusher. I really thought this was going to be, you know, another top 10 defense, even with Mike Pettine leaving and Jim Schwartz taking over, slightly tweaking the scheme a little bit. I still felt like the move of him to Kiko Alonso to weak side linebacker was just going to have him rack up the tackles. So that's a blow. Plus, you have E.J. Manuel. He's got a lot of questions to answer. He looked okay at the start of last season, not so great after the injury as a rookie. So his development really is going to be the difference probably between a 6-10 season and possibly, you know, pushing New England a little bit at the end. I don't think they can beat him, but I think they could make a run if Manuel plays well.
You know, Arthur, a lot of people don't even realize the New York Jets were 8-8 last year, and it was mainly on the strength of that defense. Now, a key member, veteran cornerback Antonio Cromartie, is gone. They bring in Dimitri Patterson via free agency. I expect more. They're looking for a big step up from last year's first-round pick, or one of their first-round picks last year, Dee Milliner. But they add Eric Decker at wide receiver, Jacoby Ford at wide receiver. You know, you're trying to develop Geno Smith. You've got Mike Vick there. They just don't seem to have enough weapons at the receiver position.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. They're certainly in better shape than they were at this time last year. As you mentioned, Rex Ryan's going to have that defense going just fine again. The question is, does Geno Smith have enough weapons? Has Geno Smith taken enough steps in the offseason? I'm not sure Eric Decker's a true number one wide receiver. In fact, I'm relatively sure he is not. But if you could start to get more out of Stephen Hill, some of these other guys, they drafted several kids. Jason Morrow, they're expecting for big contributions from at the tight end position. And then obviously Smith has got to hold off Michael Vick. Chris Johnson coming in certainly brings in, you know, a lot of excitement. We'll see if they're able to keep him happy and get him enough footballs in the backfield.
Eric, big question in the AFC North is who's the favorite? Is it the Cincinnati Bengals again? Is it the Baltimore Ravens? According to our Pro Football Now NFL preview, a bunch of the guys from Pro Football Week, we got together, we put this magazine out, we polled all of our writers, 16 strong, and we've got the Ravens back on top of the division, very close with the Bengals. And, you know, the Ravens didn't do that much during the offseason. They had veteran tight end Owen Daniels. They let tackle Michael Orr get away. Interesting. I guess the big loss has got to be defensive end Arthur Jones, who left via free agency.
Yeah, and I think Steve Smith coming over should help diversify the passing attack a little bit. But the big question is Ray Rice as he gets suspended. You know, the first three games of the season are in-division games. So if they lose him for two, three, four games, that's certainly going to hurt. I think they're going to be a pass-heavy team. It's funny, we think of them as defense and a ground game. But, you know, with Rice taking a step back last year, you know, Smith coming on board, Pitta back in the fold from injury, I really think they're going to end up throwing the ball a lot, put the ball in Joe Flacco's hands. And that defense, you know, has to be ready to be on the field a lot.
Arthur, the Bengals have suffered two key losses via free agency, defensive end Michael Johnson, offensive tackle Anthony Collins. They do bring in strong safety Daniel Manning from Houston. They're still a relatively young football team. I expect a lot of the doubters about the Bengals are as much doubters about Andy Dalton as they are anything else.
Right, and I think Hugh Jackson taking over for Jay Gruden is going to help Andy Dalton. I think they're going to take the football out of his hands, focus more on making this a smash-mouth run game. You talked about the few, you know, personnel absences they'll have, but obviously not only Jay Gruden, Mike Zimmer leaves that defense now in addition to Michael Johnson. So very curious to see how Paul Gunther puts his stamp on a very talented defense, but one that really was extremely well-coached, as well as any in football under Mike Zimmer for so many years.
All right, guys, we've got to take a quick break here, but we'll wrap up the North with the Browns and the Steelers, and you give the AFC South as well right after this very quick break. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly on the radio. We are going around the NFL, all 32 teams taking a quick look at what might be on their head coaches and GMs' minds as they get ready to open training camp. We finished our first segment in the AFC North with the Ravens and the Bengals. We now look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Arthur, I will start with you. LeGarrette Blount arrives. That's got to be a nice add, although you'll wonder if Le'Veon Bell isn't the answer in the running game. They lose Emmanuel Sanders at wide receiver. I'm trying to figure out if the Steelers are a team in complete transition or maybe they've reloaded and think they can contend again.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think they believe they're going to have a chance to contend. You lose Emmanuel Sanders, but you add Lance Moore. That should be a nice asset for Ben Roethlisberger. Obviously, you kind of roll the dice on a Martavis Bryant, a guy with so much skill, but fell in the draft, obviously, a little bit. They hope he can be Big Ben's new Plaques. And then lots of, you know, youngsters on defense coming in. Very excited about Ryan Shazier and Stephon Tuitt. But, yeah, they need some of the young guys to start hitting soon to replace some of the defections.
You know, coming out of the draft, Arthur, a lot of excitement about the Cleveland Browns. Ray Farmer seemed to have himself a really nice first draft. Now, all the controversy surrounding Johnny Football, it looks like Brian Hoyer is a starting quarterback, and Josh Gordon gone for the year at least. Yes, they've brought in Nate Burleson, but that's not a very fair trade.
No, not by a long shot. This wide receiving core could be the worst in football. And although it looks like Brian Hoyer is going to be the starter, we're not going to talk about Johnny Manziel any less. I assure you of that. This team is obviously going to, you know, ride the strength of its running game that they have made over with the rookie Terrence West, veteran Ben Tate, who they hope can stay healthy and finally start to put it all together. And that defense that has a lot of playmakers, they need them to really be the strength of the unit.
You know, Eric, you look at the AFC South, and I'm not sure if this is a comment on the weakness of the division or just the incredible job that Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano and Andrew Luck are doing there, because everybody likes the Colts to win the division. They lost some good football players. They let Antoine Bethea get away in free agency. Donald Brown was their best running back most of last year. Obviously, they want to give that job to Trent Richardson. They did bring in a couple of pretty good veterans, DeQuell Jackson and Arthur Jones to man the defensive linebacker and defensive end, and Hakeem Nicks to shore up the wide receiver spot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's turnover on the offensive line. There's Reggie Wayne coming back from an ACL. There's turnover at receiver. You know, we have the running back situation unsettled with Richardson. And yet Andrew Luck, I think, brings it all together. You know, and with Dwayne Allen coming back, I think he's going to have enough pass catchers. So I like that setup there. Defensively, boy, you know, I mean, outside of the obvious, you know, with the situation with the pass rusher there, Mathis, being suspended, you know, it's always been a group effort there, and they're going to have to come together again with him being out and missing four games. So, you know, can somebody like Bjorn Werner step up? Is there enough depth on this team? That's always been the concern for me, the bottom of the roster, which has been overturned quite a bit lately.
According to our writers poll at the Pro Football Now preview this year, we've got the Houston Texans back in second place. And Eric, this is a loaded football team. The only thing that keeps me from picking him from being a legitimate contender is Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at how many close losses they had last season. You look at the fact that they were somewhat of a dark horse Super Bowl contender coming into the year. Had Schaub played well, who knows? But, you know, I still have issues. I mean, is Arian Foster still an elite playmaker? We've got the whole Andre Johnson saga. If he's not there, who are they throwing to? So, you know, it goes beyond Fitzpatrick a little bit. Yeah, defensively, I think I like what I'm seeing. And the Watt Clowney thing should be exciting to watch. You know, I really believe there's enough talent on that side of the ball to keep them in a lot of ball games, but can they finish games out? Is Foster going to be a workhorse? Do they have a group carry, you know, kind of setup going on there? I still have my issues, even though there is some talent.
Arthur, a couple simple questions for the Tennessee Titans and Ken Wisenhunt, who basically spent his offseason cleaning house. The problems in the locker room, Kenny Britt and Chris Johnson, are gone, but that's also a lot of talent that is gone. It looks like a rebuilding program. Can Jake Locker be the quarterback of the future?
And that is the number one question that needs to be answered this year. Ken Wisenhunt has had some success with quarterbacks. He's also had a bit of, you know, tumult. He tends to shuffle through them quite a bit. So while Jake Locker is going to get first shot, you wonder if Charlie Whitehurst, who came over in free agency, or Zach Mettenberger, the sixth rounder, could we see, you know, several of these guys this season? The Titans have to hope that they won't, but it is, like I said, kind of been historically the case with Ken Wisenhunt. I do think that they're going to have pretty good receivers. You mentioned they got rid of Kenny Britt. I'm excited about Justin Hunter's development in his second year. Kendall Wright went over 1,000 yards last year. He just needs to add that big play component to his game that we saw at Baylor. I'm also really excited to see what Ray Horton does with this defense. I love his aggressive style. I think he has some nice moldable pieces to work with. But as you mentioned, this is a transition year. They're going from a 40 to a 30. And I think it, you know, there are going to be some growing pains along the way for Horton's unit.
You know, I was very impressed with Gus Bradley as a head coaching prospect going his rookie year last year in Jacksonville. I was concerned about his coordinators, Jed Fish and Bob Babbage. The start was awful, but if you look at the second half of the season, this became a pretty competitive football team. It's clearly a rebuilding program. Blake Bortles isn't going to play. Chad Henne is, and yet you look at what they're doing in defense and up front in the trenches, and you got to kind of like the way this Jaguar team is being built.
Yeah, there's a lot to like. Obviously, you know, Seattle East over there in Jacksonville, they've brought in a lot of former key contributors from the Seahawks and Chris Clemens and Red Bryant. They've got some of their own talent they've been building or at least signing via free agency and Roy Miller and Sendarik Marks. And it was an exciting draft for them. Like you said, obviously Bortles is going to get the redshirt season, it would appear, and they're going to roll with Chad Henne, who's, you know, solid as a bridge guy. My concern is all the injuries they were dealing with at wide receiver. Not a chance to develop a new rapport with all these new guys like Marcus Lee and Allen Robinson. So I hope they're able to get up to speed in training camp so we can start to see what they're capable of.
Is the AFC West the best division in football? I don't know. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. We'll break it down for you right here on Pro Football Weekly. Welcome back to the program, folks. We're in the AFC West. The Denver Broncos, the defending AFC champs, getting ready to go to camp and try and erase that awful taste of the beatdown they took in the Super Bowl last year. That's the bad news. The good news is they were a Super Bowl team, and they've had a couple of key additions. You look at bringing in Aqib Talib and T.J. Ward in the secondary, and then you add DeMarcus Ware, a former NFL defensive MVP. You wonder, is it the rich getting richer? But, Eric, you got to look at the other side of it. Champ Bailey is gone. Granted, he didn't contribute a lot last year, but offensive guard Zane Beatles did. Wide receiver Eric Tecker, a big play guy. And no Sean Marino, the starting linebacker. Sean Phillips, the best pass rusher. There's a lot of change here with Wesley Woodyard on the move as well.
A good amount of change, sure. But if Peyton Manning is anything close to the level he was at last season, you know, and Adam Gase has talked about it, this could actually be a better offense. Are they going to score 606 points again? Probably not. You know, the all-time mark, whatever. But I think that you know, I really think we're sort of getting in a situation where they can get their calls in sooner. They know the personnel very well. Monty Ball could be a very good running back for this team. Emmanuel Sanders could take over for Wes Welker in that slot role. So there's a lot to like here. And let's not forget, like you said, I mean, this was a very good team that had a bad game in the Super Bowl. I still think they're the cream of the division. I don't think anyone's realistically going to challenge them, even with a formidable schedule there.
You look at the San Diego Chargers, and I think it's easy to say that Mike McCoy was the best of all the rookie head coaches last year, got them to 9-7 in the playoffs and won a playoff game. They were getting better every week in the end. I was particularly impressed with what defensive coordinator John Pagano, the brother of Indianapolis Colts head coach Chuck Pagano, was able to do with that defense, how well they were playing when they got to the playoffs. And now they've added really just depth when you look at Donald Brown, to come in at running back behind Ryan Matthews. Cavell Connor, not a bad inside linebacker. He'll probably get himself some significant playing time. They feel that a lot of the pieces are already in place, and in the draft, they focused on that secondary.
Yeah, and it's funny how that secondary got sort of a gift addition with Brandon Flowers in the last couple weeks. I mean, I don't necessarily believe like Flowers does he's the best corner in the league, but it's an upgrade, and he could play well if he sticks in that outside spot as opposed to inside like he was in Kansas City. You add Jason Verrett, the talented little ball hawk from TCU, and you got some feisty guys back there. You know, Verrett, Flowers, Weddle. Gilchrist came around last year for me. I mean, Sharice Wright played well in the playoff game. Richard Marshall's always been a competitor. So, yeah, and now that secondary doesn't look so bad. They locked up Donald Butler. They have Manti Te'o. Maybe that defensive line isn't a great unit, but defensively they should be better. And we know what Phillip Rivers and that offense can do. So I'm pretty excited about the possibilities of this team. Keenan Allen, maybe some of those receivers take another jump in that offensive line as well.
Arthur, at 9-0 in 2013, the $64 million question in the NFL was, are the Kansas City Chiefs the best team in the league? Then Andy Reid's guys went 2-5 the rest of the way and then suffered a historic meltdown in the first round of the playoffs, blowing a 4-touchdown lead against the Indianapolis Colts. I'll tell you, I was on the sidelines on that one for Westwood One in that broadcast, and that was as tough a loss, as much of a pin in the balloon as I've ever seen an NFL team suffer. How do they bounce back?
Yeah, it's a good question. This seems to me like a team that maybe headed in the wrong direction in the offseason. Just a lot of key losses. We just talked about Brandon Flowers, obviously, and Andrew Luck just absolutely shredded this secondary in the playoffs, that game you're referring to. I don't know how they make up for the loss of Flowers. Obviously, they decided to release him. They think they're going to be okay there. To me, guys like Chris Owens, Ron Parker, some of these veterans maybe are just guys. They're really counting on Sean Smith in that secondary, obviously. And then on offense, I mean, when you would think it couldn't be any clearer that Alex Smith needs more help, he gets none at all. Dwayne Bowe is still your number one. You don't have a lot behind him. You lose Brandon Albert. You're hoping Eric Fisher is your left tackle of the future. So I'm just not sure here. Obviously, they're gonna ride Jamaal Charles, and they're gonna have to. I am excited about the special teams. I think DeAnthony Thomas in the hands of Dave Taub has a chance to be a real hit. I'm excited to see what he's capable of.
Oakland Raiders, everybody thought this would be Reggie McKenzie's year. He finally had gotten rid of all of his salary cap nightmares. It got off to an awful start when he allowed Veldheer, his left tackle, to get away via free agency. They wanted to re-sign him. They couldn't get that done. They did appear to have a pretty good draft, though. You got to be excited when you can bring in not only Khalil Mack, who people are already calling the defensive MVP, but then get your quarterback, Derek Carr, with the first pick in the second round, your first pick in the second round.
It's going to be exciting to see what Khalil Mack can do right away. I don't believe we're going to see what Derek Carr can do right away. The folks in Oakland are very excited about Matt Schaub. Are they kind of painting, are they kind of building him up a little bit after such a disastrous season last year? We'll have to wait and see. You said at the top that, this was supposed to be the year where Reggie McKenzie broke through. It became the year where he has to break through, and you could tell by kind of his desperation in free agency with some of the veterans, the Justin Tucks, the Antonio Smiths, all these old guys that may be on their last leg, but that they're hoping is going to be able to bring a winning mentality back to the Bay. We'll see. I'm excited to see what happens in that backfield, too. If this was 5 years ago, I'd be really excited about Darren McFadden and Maurice Jones-Drew. I'm still, at nothing else, I'm intrigued to see what they're capable of.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is he lets Veldheer get away. He let Lamar Houston get away, and you bring in a Justin Tuck. These are strange moves for a rebuilding football team. We've got to take a quick break. NFC East in just a moment. We are, and we are taking you around the National Football League, touching on each of the 32 teams as they head into training camp and what their main focuses are likely to be. We have arrived at the NFC East. The defending East champion Philadelphia Eagles are pretty much everybody's pick to win that division again. But a very volatile offseason, as Chip Kelly really put more of his stamp on this team after his rookie head coaching year than he did coming in. The release of DeSean Jackson, allowing Jason Avant to get away via free agency, not re-signing Michael Vick. This is Kelly's locker room now, but he let a lot of veteran leadership get away, Arthur. I don't think anybody's disputing that they continue to be the most talented team in the NFC East and possibly even a team ready to take another step up in the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, it certainly adds a wrinkle when you're waiting to see what, you know, one of the, you know, better rookie head coaches in the NFL last season can do for an encore. You figure that offense is still going to be explosive. But like you said, they lose their best playmaking wide receiver in DeSean Jackson. And that is a lot of production to replace. They're counting on Jeremy Maclin staying healthy, of course, and Riley Cooper following up his breakthrough year. The rookie Jordan Matthews could be counted on for some contributions. Josh Huff as well. On defense, they may have reached a little bit on Marcus Smith, but they're going to try and plug him in as a productive pass rusher right from Jump Street. You got a lot of other guys on that defense who need big seasons as well. They're an aggressive scheme by Billy Davis, and they're going to have to get after it in that division for sure.
Yeah, Chip Kelly probably not all that thrilled that I anointed Mike McCoy the best rookie head coach in the NFL last year. I just thought that Kelly had more to work with. You look at the weapons, and Nick Foles, certainly, you know, you talk about an arrival. Can he do it again? That's the biggest question on the Eagles. The New York Giants, they put a revolving door in, Arthur. I mean, you look at the changes with the veteran arrivals and the guys who were allowed to get away. You know, David Bass is gone. Kevin Booth is gone on that offensive line. Linville Joseph and Justin Tuck on the defensive line. And they added a bunch of guys, but nobody, I think, that you get all that excited about.
No, I mean, I think they made some nice moves in the secondary. You get excited about a Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and, you know, Quentin Demps is plugged in, going to get a chance to play. So, you know, some nice moves for sure. It was, there was a lot of volume in the moves that Jerry Reese made this offseason. But like you said, it worked in both directions. I wonder how they're going to replace Linval Joseph. They're really counting on the second-year player, Jonathan Hankins, to take up a bunch of space in the middle. As much as anything, of course, though, we're going to talk about Eli Manning and how he's able to bounce back from arguably his worst season at least in quite some time. He's got a rookie first rounder in Odell Beckham to try and help out. Reuben Randle expected to replace Hakeem Nicks and take that next step. So they're going to see if they can get this offense back on track. But like you said, Eli's going to have to do it with some differences in protection this year.
You know, Eric, I look at the Dallas Cowboys and I see a team that had the potential to be one of the worst teams in the league before the unfortunate injury to Sean Lee, their best remaining defensive player. And yet I've got to applaud Jerry Jones a little bit. He finally did what needed to be done. Maybe he's ready to start running this like an NFL team with a chance to compete. The salary cap was completely out of hand. You never want to let an MVP like DeMarcus Ware get away, but something had to be done. Miles Austin has moved on. Jason Hatcher has moved on. DeMarcus Ware has moved on. They're going to be bad, but maybe this is the beginning from where they can rebuild.
Yeah, and if you talk about moves that may be a little bit more long-term looking, I know there's excitement about Johnny Manziel, but they passed him up for Zach Martin, who probably going to be the starting right guard and may play well. Maybe the next Travis Frederick, a guy who comes in. But that's three first-round picks now on that offensive line the past 4 years. So Jerry's shown some restraint here. Is it going to work out in the short term? No, I don't think so. I think his defense is going to be horrific this season, and I think they're going to struggle. I think we're going to talk about a team that maybe has a top five or six draft pick this year. Even if Tony Romo pulls out the heroics, even if Dez Bryant's great, you know, DeMarco Murray, I just can't count on the health of those guys, and I can't count on this defense.
All right, Eric, let's talk about the Washington team. I'm going to try and avoid using the rest of their name until they change it, because I do find it offensive. And that's been the most of talk of the offseason. So, you know, you don't really get that much to actually the product on the field. Jay Gruden, an interesting choice as the next head coach. You know, you wonder about the front office. Is Daniel Snyder leaving them alone to let the football people handle things? They've got to overcome the retirement of London Fletcher, the unquestioned leader of this football team the last couple of years. And you got to look for the big bounce back year from RG3, Robert Griffin III. Another team like the Giants made a lot of moves with veterans coming and going, but there's nothing that jumps off the page at me other than maybe free safety Ryan Clark that makes him better. Obviously, DeSean Jackson is a great player, but I just don't know that they've got the pieces there to put together a complete offense around him in RG3.
Yeah, it is interesting how it has been quiet on the football side of things. Yes, DeSean Jackson was one of those big moves that, you know, he comes in and is going to transform things a little bit, be that safety splitter, help out RG3 on the deep balls. And, you know, it's clear that Gruden believes that, that RG3 is going to be back to being a passer, not just a runner or, you know, just a quarterback, but somebody who's going to be able to make all the throws in this offense. Yes, the offensive line's going through a change. Yes, the secondary still looks like a mess, but I think we're looking at a better football team here. You know, one that can that may be challenged for second place, even if I think the Giants might be a little better.
All right, guys, we're going to take another commercial break here, but we've still got the rest of the NFC to break down. Next up, it will be the NFC North. Funny, one of the more mediocre divisions in the league last year, and yet some people think maybe the best this year. We'll talk about it. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly, everybody. We are going around the NFL getting you ready for training camp. I want to tell everybody who got used to buying the Pro Football Weekly NFL Preview Magazine and Fantasy Football Guide, they are out. They are under a new title. It is Pro Football Now by the editors of Pro Football Weekly. Most of us who put them together at PFW worked on these Pro Football Now annuals. They are available at your local newsstands. You want to get out and get one, the best NFL preview guide available, and certainly the best fantasy football guide ready to get you ready for your drafts. Again, they're available at your local newsstand. Pro Football Now NFL Preview 2014 and Pro Football Now Fantasy Football Guide. And Arthur, the Green Bay Packers won the division, won the North last year at 8-7-1, but that's misleading. They were a much better football team when Aaron Rodgers was healthy and at quarterback. He is healthy again, and they've made one big free agency move. They've added Julius Peppers in the hopes that Nick Perry is ready on one side, that Clay Matthews is healthy on the other, and they get a bounce-back year from B.J. Raji with a one-year prove-it free agent contract.
Yeah, that's right. They are looking for big contributions and different contributions and roles for B.J. Raji and Julius Peppers. Raji is moving back to nose guard where he had his most success three seasons ago. Julius Peppers, who played over 80% of the snaps in Chicago last year, is going to be scaled back significantly. He's also going to have some different responsibilities. I think you'll see him rushing off the edge from a two-point stance. You'll still see him drop down on the line inside. But basically, Dom Capers got a directive from Mike McCarthy this offseason. It's focused less on scheme, more on personnel. Find a way to make it work with the guys you have. Obviously, Julius Peppers the exception there. On offense, everything looks like it's going to be pretty good with Aaron Rodgers healthy. They're also going to be much better behind him, I believe, with Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien battling for the backup job. But, yeah, he's got some new weapons to work with. I think they'll be in pretty good shape there.
In 2013, the Chicago Bears rebuilt their entire offensive front, one of the worst in the NFL. They started four new offensive linemen. Only veteran center Roberto Garza was back. They started a new tight end in Martellus Bennett. This year in free agency, the Bears go out and add on the defensive line Jared Allen, Lamar Houston. Izzy Adonis has already been cut, but they brought him in as well. They bring Trevor Scott, Willie Young, Austin Lane. They're trying to rebuild their entire defensive front this year, and they're going to have to because they were the worst run defense in the NFL. They were vastly improved on offense. If this defense turns the way the offense did, some people think this is a surprise contender.
Yeah, there's no question that on paper this is a much more talented defense. You throw in the rookies and Kyle Fuller, who's going to play outside in the nickel packages. Brock Vereen is going to have a chance to start at free safety alongside either Ryan Mundy or perhaps Adrian Wilson, another late addition. So it was so impressive what they were able to do rebuilding on the fly last year, especially when you consider four new guys on the offensive line. You usually need time to gel and everything like that. They expect the next step there. But on defense is where all the questions reside, as you mentioned, and if they can get even a similar transformation as they had on offense last year, they're going to have a chance to really be a contender in this division.
You know, Eric, in Detroit, the Jim Schwartz era is over. The Jim Caldwell era has begun, and apparently Marty Mayhew thinks that could be enough. This was a playoff team a couple years ago. They didn't do a lot in free agency. They do add wide receiver Golden Tate to replace the departed Nate Burleson and hopefully pair, you know, with Calvin Johnson. They've added safety James Ihedigbo and linebacker Darrell Tapp. These are not household names. Other than that, they're going with what they think is the young talent. As a matter of fact, Ndamukong Suh the other day called it DNA of champions. Is this a team that can contend again just because the coaching staff is different?
Well, I think so. And, you know, I mean, Caldwell brings a way different approach than what we saw with Schwartz, sort of the tough guy thing that he had going. But, you know, a solid offensive line, one that played well last year. If Matthew Stafford and Joe Lombardi, the new offensive coordinator, if they're simpatico, the weapons are there. We know Calvin Johnson, Golden Tate, I think is going to be a perfect little sidekick to him. Eric Ebron, the first round pick. You'll see a lot of two tight end sets with Pettigrew. And then Bush and Bell in the backfield. I really like that combination, the way they were able to run it, the way they were able to catch it. The question then becomes, how much can this defensive line dominate? Can they make up for the fact that maybe there are still questions in the secondary, and it's a good but not a great linebacking crew? So, yeah, the pieces are there, and I think they're going to be a better football team. Just look, they had the division almost wrapped up last year, lost three close games down the stretch. That's what killed them.
Eric, Mike Zimmer, the new coach of the Minnesota Vikings, a guy that I think everybody who's been around the league for a while is pulling for. They clearly are the team with the most ground to make up in the NFC North, and yet you look at their draft, Anthony Barr, the outside linebacker from UCLA, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, defensive end Scott Christian from Oregon State, Jerick McKinnon, a running back from Georgia Southern, David Yankee, a guard from Stanford, Anton Exum, cornerback from Virginia Tech. Their first six picks could all end up making significant contributions this year. Again, they're just prospects right now, but this is a promising first draft for Mike Zimmer in his first season.
Yeah, they're one of those teams that I really have my eye on for 2015. Not that I think they're going to be terrible this season compared to where they were last year, but, you know, once you get that defensive line cranked up, you know, Everson Griffin has re-signed, Sharif Floyd in his second year, Anthony Barr is going to be a linebacker, but basically a pass rusher for all intents and purposes, Brian Robeson, the hangover, I mean, you know, the holdover, I should say. You know, that defense can do some good things if the quarterback position is helping them out. I don't know what Matt Castle's going to do beyond the okay and the standard. Once Bridgewater takes over and once he's gotten his feet wet, I think he's going to be in a great spot with a good tight end, a good weapon in Cordarrelle Patterson, and, of course, that guy Adrian Peterson.
All right, guys, we've got to take another commercial break here, but we are back in just a moment. We've got the South up next and the West to wrap up as well in the NFC. We're back on Pro Football Weekly, just a few minutes left, and still two divisions to wrap up, the NFC South and the NFC West. So, Eric Edholm, we'll come to you with the NFC South. And I am fascinated by this division because depending on what knowledgeable football insiders you talk to, you can find one who will pick any one of these four teams, the Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers, or the Bucks to win the division. The Panthers, the defending champs. Who have they got to play wide receiver? Does Cam Newton take a step forward? I love everything the Saints did last year. They're just getting older, and they seem to be missing that link, particularly on defense. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I am not a huge Lovie Smith fan personnel evaluator. I think he's an outstanding football coach, but allowing him to have control of that roster and then bringing in Jason Light, to me, that was not the fix you were looking for there. And then, of course, you talk about the Atlanta Falcons. They're a lot better than the record they put up last year.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons obviously started last season with a slew of close losses, and you could just sort of see this thing, you know, mushrooming into something much bigger, and the injuries are going to be a factor again. Can they stay healthy? We know what Matt Ryan gives, and we know that those receivers are going to be playmakers for him. For me, the more curious thing is, can that defense, which is in transition now, sort of make that leap? If you go down the line now, obviously look at the Panthers. This is a team that won a lot of football games last year, kind of just, you know, took the division away from the Saints at the end of the season with that big week 16 victory. And yet the same questions you have, I have with them. I'm not convinced Cam Newton is an alpha dog leader in the traditional sense. I don't know if he can make up for the losses of Jordan Gross and Steve Smith in the locker room and his football players. So the offensive line, the lack of depth at wide receiver, you know, solidified depth. And I just think the overall sort of situation right now is putting too much stress on the defense, which frankly covered up some issues in the secondary. So I expect a drop from the Panthers. The teams that I think have a real good shot to be in contention are the Saints and the Buccaneers. And right now the Saints look like the more established team. Defensively, Rob Ryan had it all going last year. We know what Drew Brees can do. Brandon Cook's just another new weapon in the till. You know, the running game should be solid if Kyrie Robinson steps up, and yet I think they get a push from the Buccaneers. I really like Gerald McCoy and Lavonte David, and I think that Smith's going to have that defense cranked up. The offense has a lot of big guys of Josh McCown to throw to, three-headed rushing attack. The offensive line's there. They're going to be contenders, I think.
All right, Arthur, let's take a look at the NFC West. This was the best division in the NFL last year, probably will be again this year, although I really worry about what happened in Arizona with letting Carlos Dansby get away via free agency and then losing Darrell Washington at linebacker. They've got a lot of holes to fill on that defense. St. Louis Rams continue to be one of the more impressive young football teams in the NFL. That's on Sam Bradford's shoulder. Whether these two teams can challenge the two, as use Eric's expression, alpha dogs in this division, the Seattle Seahawks are the defending world champions. Now, I'm not saying that they're worse, but I really don't see how they're better. They lost a lot of important talent in Golden Tate, Brandon Browner, and Walter Thurman, Red Bryant, Chris Clemens, Bruno Giacomini, their starting right tackle, and didn't really replace those folks with anything. So were they deep enough? That's going to be the question. San Francisco 49ers, on the other hand, made some more big moves. You add Antoine Bethea at safety, Chris Cook, multi-talented, a bit of a problem child, and wide receiver Stevie Johnson and Brandon Lloyd, offensive tackle Jonathan Martin. They're rebuilding their secondary, but at least with the 49ers, I can see the plan.
Yeah, absolutely. The 49ers, I like in particular what they did with that wide receiving core, you know, trading for Stevie Johnson and, you know, of course, bringing in Bruce Ellington via the draft. I think they're going to have a chance to be better there. You know, there's going to be some questions up front. They've got their two starting guards coming off of injuries. One of their guards, Alex Boone, is in a contract holdout. They got Anthony Davis coming off of injury. So it's going to be interesting there. Some changes. Seattle says they're going to be even better this year. I tend to agree with you. After all the losses, I think kind of the status quo for the Super Bowl champions would certainly be good enough, but they're excited about what they have going down there. They're saying that Marshawn Lynch is going to share a little bit more of the backfield responsibilities, and we'll see how that all shakes out. We'll see if they have the kind of receiver depth to withstand Golden Tate. But can any of these two other teams make a push? That's what the ultimate question is. The Arizona Cardinals, one of the better teams not to make the playoffs, probably the best team in the football not to make the playoffs last year. But like you said, a huge hole in the middle of that defense all of a sudden. The defense is what carried that unit last year. I'm wondering if with the better offensive line with Carson Palmer coming back for year two, they're going to have to look to the offense for some more fireworks this year. And like you said, Sam Bradford, I think it's all in front of him for the St. Louis Rams. That defense is going to be downright scary, particularly up front. But can Sam Bradford, who is in an absolute make or break season, get Jeff Fisher and company over the hump? It's going to be fascinating to watch.
You know, guys, I'll tell you this, and I'm just having fun with this. Don't take it wrong. But I look at Marshawn Lynch. I'm not happy with him for his performance with the media at the Super Bowl. Wasn't interested in going to the White House, but had plenty of time to pose nude for a national magazine. Interesting offseason for the defending world champion running back of the Seattle Seahawks. Interesting offseason for the Seattle Seahawks. They are the defending world champs. That means they're it until someone knocks them off. That's our training camp preview. We've got one more break, and then we'll be back on Pro Football Week. Welcome back to Pro Football Weekly, everyone. I'm Hub Arkish, and along with Eric Edholm and Arthur Arkish, please accept my most sincere apologies. Normally, we would do the publisher's pen here, but we are out of time trying to squeeze all 32 NFL team training camp opening previews into an hour. Ran us a little bit late. We want to make sure that you are with us next week as we bring you reports from all 32 training camps. The NFL season is here, and we couldn't be more excited. Thank you so much for listening this week. Our thanks to Randy Meyer, our producer and engineer, Syndication Networks, our home studio and syndicator. And again, most of all, our thanks to all of you for listening. Join us again next week, same time, same station, as we report from training camps around the league on Pro Football Weekly.